glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 through 40. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, July 28th, 2025. Today we're going to hear from Pastor Evan Stone as he delivered a message recently out of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 40. We're going to learn about faith, the importance of faith, and how nothing can happen outside of God's permissive will. By the way, WDKR 107.3 FM is broadcasting to the glory of God, lifting high the name of Jesus. As you travel around central Illinois, especially as you head towards Decatur from wherever you're at, try 107.3 FM. Here's Pastor Evan Stone of CU Church on today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends.
We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, and Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 23. And I don't know if you guys know this or not, but we also do a service on Wednesday nights. And on Wednesday nights, we're in downtown Champaign. We do a service there, and it's same service, same preacher, same content, you know, all this stuff's the same. So I had written a sermon, and it was a great sermon. It was awesome. But I had written a great sermon, and leading into it, I just felt like in my, I just didn't feel good. I felt anxious. And for the most part, I'm like, man, this is what I do. Like, I preach, I write sermons. I'm like, this is my gifting, my skill set. This is my favorite thing to do, is to speak. And so to write a sermon that doesn't feel good, it's like, I don't typically feel like this. And my wife, who often sounds like the Holy Spirit, she said, I think the problem is you just don't believe it. And I thought, dang, that might be true. So we're going to read Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 23. And it says this, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection. And we want to pause there. Because at this point, you're like, man, the author of Hebrews, like, man, he's on a roll. This is awesome. He's gassing us up. Like, we're feeling good. Yeah, he did. Come on, God. This is great. Unfortunately, the author keeps writing. And I've been told that I have to keep reading. So after that, it says, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. So here's what we're going to do this morning. Is I had written an original sermon, and the spark notes of the original sermon was essentially this idea of it doesn't matter where you start, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what things have been done to you or things you have done in your life, faith is available for you. It is the same God. It is not the person. It is not the position. It is not the circumstance. It is the God and the promise behind it all. And whether you come from ill repute standing or you in the world's eyes have been defeated, you are victorious in the foundation of who Jesus is. It was an awesome sermon. Some of y'all just needed that spot. There you go. So now where was the struggle? So last week, you might be wondering, why are we starting in verse 23? Dr. J.K. Jones was up here last week, and he so powerfully and eloquently and beautifully began the chapter and got through verse 22. And one of the things that he said last week is he said, faith is perturbing. Now, I know most of you know what that word means, but I did not. So I had to go get a dictionary, and I had to look up, what does perturbing mean? And perturbing means to cause great anxiety or concern. So faith is perturbing. I might use a different word. I might say faith is frustrating, mainly because it doesn't do what I want it to do. Everybody in this room has faith. I can prove it because you're all sitting in a chair. You have faith that that chair is going to do what it's supposed to do. If you did not have a faith that that chair was going to hold you up, you would not have sat down in that chair. You ever looked at a chair? I ain't sitting in that one. You know? Your faith is in the chair to hold you up because that's what the chair was created and designed to do. That's what it declares it's going to do for you. However, if I start putting different expectations on the chair, if I want the chair to drive me around and take me out to get donuts and coffee, all of a sudden I'm putting expectations on the chair that it was never meant to do, never promised to do for you, never claimed to do for you. And then we might get it even worse where we start getting anxiety and concern. Why is my chair not moving? Is it me? Am I the problem? Is the chair the problem? What is wrong with this situation? And you want the chair to do something it's not meant to do for you. And it gives anxiety and it gives issues. And here's my problem with Hebrews chapter 11 is because what the author is trying to show us as you read through Hebrews chapter 11 is that faith, great faith, it will transform your soul, but it might not change your struggle. Faith will transform your heart, but it might not change your health. Faith will transform your mind, but it might not change your means. Faith will transform your perspective, but it might not change your problems. Faith will transform your priorities, but nothing in your life might not change. And that frustrates the hell out of me, which is probably a good thing, because hell promises a quick fix. Think about it. Like, hell promises, man, if you just do this or chase after this or grab this or drink this or watch this or read this or do this, like, that's the immediate gratification that you need. You're feeling down. You're feeling frustrated. You're feeling anxious. You got this going on. You got that going on. Just do this really quick and you will feel good. And I'm going to be real honest. When we live in a culture and a society where everything is instantaneous, that quick fix looks real good. You know what I mean? If a show drops on Netflix and they don't drop every episode at once, I'm out. I'm not waiting a week to watch the next episode, all right? Like, we've gotten to the point that if it's not a limited series, we're not watching it. I'm not waiting a year for season two to come out. Are you kidding me? Like, that? No, like, this is, like, we want it now. One author said that we worship a crockpot God but live in a microwave society. We want it now. I'm going to say something here that maybe you agree with, maybe you don't. But as a follower of Jesus in the year 2025, this is probably the easiest any follower of Jesus has ever had it in the history of Christendom in the United States of America. Not in the world, but right here in our culture. It's never been easier. You chose to freely come to this church today. Guess what? You want to leave here and go to another church? You can. Then after that, you want to go to another church? You can. Then you want to go to another church? You can. Guess what? You got about 300 churches to choose from. Go pick a church. Then it's like, man, okay, I'm tired of going to church. What am I going to do now? Oh, I'm just going to read the Bible. Man, I've got 15 different translations of the Bible right here in my bookshelf at home, and I'm going to pull out whatever translation I want. And, oh, man, I don't really know what this means or what this word means. Guess what? I'm going to pull out my phone, and I've got apps on my phone that show me every single Greek word and Hebrew word and the cross-reference, and I can see how this connects to that, and this connects there, and here goes there, and I can... It's the easiest time it's ever been to follow Jesus. It's also probably the most unnecessary it's ever been to follow Jesus. Because y'all drove your cars in here, and when I leave here, I'm probably going to go through a drive-thru, Taco Bell. I'm going to tell someone I want some food. I'm going to pull up to a window. They're going to have food for me. I'm going to give them a little plastic thing. They'll pay for it. There'll be no issues. And I'm going to leave there, and I'm going to drive in my air-conditioned car that I've purchased, and I'm going to go and drive to my in-law's house, and it's got air conditioning, and I've got family that are there supporting me, and then I'm going to leave from there, and then I'm going to go home, and I'm going to turn on the Cubs, and I'm going to watch that, and I'm going to relax. I'm going to play with my kids. We also have air conditioning, which is pretty nice. And then I'm going to maybe mow the yard, maybe not mow the yard, but I've got my 401k just sitting and it's building slowly. And I'm like, good. You know what I don't need? Faith. Because I'm taken care of. And what that does is it breeds, if we're not careful, terrible theology of what God wants to do in our lives. Because the unnecessary pursuit of Jesus, as we would see it, as the world would see it, it's difficult. It's complicated. There are no quick fixes. There's no, hey, hop in a tank and let's dunk you in a tank. And guess what? We're good. Go play the lottery. Because God loves you now and you love God and you're all taken care of. There's no quick fixes. And the author of Hebrews is trying to show us faith is bigger than what you want it to be. So J.K. Jones preached last week, Dr. Jones, and I doubt he remembers this, but he was my preaching professor when I was at Lincoln Christian University. Usually if teachers remember me, it's not for anything good. So I think I did that class well, so he doesn't remember me. And I remember, if you have ever been in a preaching class, I doubt you have, they're awful. They're the worst things ever. It's about 10 to 15 people. They all sit in a row right here, and you stand up here and you give a sermon, and everything you say, they go, huh. And you think, what are you writing there? What's going on? And so we all gave the sermons. And when you finish your sermon, you go down the row and everybody gives their encouragement and their constructive criticism of what to do and how to make it better. And so my buddy Kyle was the first one to hop up and to give his sermon. And as he's giving his sermon, he finishes and we go down the line and we're all like, dude, killed it. Awesome. It was rad. Like, you know, whatever. Nobody wants to say anything mean or anything like that. And we're all preaching on like Philippians. You know, it's the easiest thing you can preach on. It's about have joy, you know. And it gets to Dr. Jones and he's sitting down here and he says, honestly, Kyle, that was really good. That was the first sermon of the semester. It was really good. I love, you know, you had your 3 points. Your structure was really well. This was connected. It was good. I would really like it, though, if you would have connected that to this passage in Habakkuk. And my buddy Kyle goes, oh, yeah, that would have been cool. But I haven't actually read Habakkuk yet. And Dr. Jones took off his glasses. You mean to tell me that you presume to stand on a platform like this and preach the gospel and the word of God and you haven't even read the whole book? And everybody in class went, Habakkuk, 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 Habakkuk. Yeah, dude, read it. What are you doing? It's only 3 chapters, man. Get it together. And you better believe every sermon after that. And if you go to Habakkuk, it's connected back there. But I love what he was doing because we all left that class and we're like, dude, what the heck? That was a good sermon. That was so unneeded and harsh. And what's the big deal? But he was trying to teach us something. The first thing is I learned now looking back is just his love for the Word of God. This tool that we've been given to see the heart, the nature of God. But also, it's the same thing the author in Hebrews is trying to teach us. That if you don't have the whole picture, if you don't have the whole story, if you don't see how God has moved here, spoken here, done this, accomplished this, if you don't see how God was faithful here and faithful there, and even when it looked like victory or it looked like defeat, if you don't see how God still came in the outcome, we can't have the whole picture. We only have a portion of the good news. And a portion of the good news works for, guess what? A portion of your life. The author of Hebrews is trying to show you that if you have the whole picture, if you have the whole book, Dr. Jones was trying to show us that if you've got the whole picture in the whole book, all of a sudden, your perspective of what is happening in your situation in your life, it can transform. In 40 verses, the author of Hebrews weaves us beautifully through Genesis, Exodus, Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Psalms, Daniel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah at a minimum. There could be more references in there. He's weaving in and out of the story of God, and he's trying to teach these people, this audience, a lesson. And one of the dangers of what we do in church today, or maybe me, you're better than I am, but what I do is you come week to week. And week to week, you go through a chapter, and then a chapter, and then a chapter. And so we're doing Hebrews 11 this week and last week. And before that, we did Hebrews 10. And before that, we did Hebrews 9. And the danger is that we get in the mindset of, whew, okay, got through Hebrews 8. I wonder what Hebrews 9 is all about. We get to Hebrews 9, and we take it chapter by chapter. But that's not what the original author intended. There wasn't chapters in the original book. It was one large story that they were trying to teach, that they're trying to get across, and so they're all building it on top of each other. That's why sometimes you guys are like, man, Jason spends a lot of time at the beginning just talking about stuff we already talked about. Yeah, because it's all connected, and it's all beautiful. And so in chapter 10, the author is trying to teach them confidence. You can have confidence because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And now you can confidently walk before the throne of God. And this has all been for you. So don't throw away your confidence. Live with your confidence. And then we get to chapter 11. And it's because of that confidence of who Jesus is that you can start to have this thing called faith. Grow in your life that leads you to action, that leads you to decisions. And as it's growing and as it's maturing, you begin to see more and more about who God is. And what we want is for chapter 12 to then say, and then you'll live happily ever after. It's not what it says, though. Spoiler alert, next week, 12:1 says, therefore, because of that great faith, and therefore, because of all these people that are cheering you on, run the race marked out before you. Some of us have races that seem comfortable and smooth, and some of us have races where there couldn't be more potholes. And it says it's not about the race itself, it's about the faith that propels you through it. See, what we learn in Hebrews is your outcome is not a measure of your faith, your outlook is. Right? Boy, that sounds good. Now, what's the problem? I don't know if I actually believe it. Listen, I trust it. I study scripture and I'm like, yeah, that's what it says. Yeah, that's what God says. Yeah, that's it. But deep down in my soul, if we're being honest with each other today, deep down, do I actually believe it? Man, that's a struggle. I don't know. If I looked at my prayer life and over here I had my prayers of God, fix it, health, finances, struggles, emotions, this is going on, praying for the government and the world and stuff. And if I piled all those prayers up here, man, and then I'd made a pile over here of my prayers of God, just sanctify my heart in the midst of the struggle. God, give me purpose to point to your kingdom, regardless of outcomes. Boy, this side's going through the roof. You know what I mean? Like, we got a hole right there, and it's just shooting straight up there. And this side, I'm telling you what, I could still box jump it. If I actually believed that, wouldn't this side be higher? And that doesn't mean there's nothing wrong with these prayers. God wants these prayers. But these prayers without these prayers are incomplete. It's a portion of what God wants to do in your life. It's a portion of what he wants to show you who he is. So a year ago Thursday, my dad passed away. So he travels for work Monday through Friday. He was always gone. He was a Midwest regional trainer for ThyssenKrupp Elevators. He was an elevator mechanic. And so if you open the elevator door and you see the words Otis, you get off. Right? And you see ThyssenKrupp, safe elevator. I can get on this one, okay? Like, that's what he did for decades. He traveled for work. He was in Minneapolis, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, to be specific. And they found him in his truck. He had had a heart attack. And he had his blood pressure cuff on. He had his nitroglycerin pills, his heart medication that he was trying to get open. And they found him the next morning. You know how weird it is to, like, your dad just leaves for work and then you just get a phone call and then there's no dad? Some of you do. Like, that was, and it was a Wednesday. So I went to church that night. And I remember sitting there and we're worshiping and we're doing all this stuff. And I, in that moment, maybe because it was so fresh or whatever, I'm like, okay, I'm a pastor. I have faith and hope and joy, and God's going to work it for good. Romans 8:28. You know what I mean? And then I thought I was doing good. In February, my father-in-law, who's also my dad, had a major cardiac arrest, and he was also driving. And he was at a four-way stop, and as he was going one way, there was an ER code nurse coming the other way and noticed the signs and saw what had happened and hopped out of the car and called 911 immediately. And there was a police officer that was like half a block away and was there within like 10 seconds. And they popped the window open and they pulled him out and they did CPR for 45 minutes. He spent weeks in the hospital. They put him on this ECMO machine, which is just like, I don't know, witchcraft. And we golfed last week. To be thinking, God, you're so good. What a miracle. He had a 0.0007% chance to live. What a miracle. And on the other hand, be so mad at God. There couldn't have been anybody in that parking lot. Anybody? Couldn't have happened during the day when more people were around. As a pastor, to have the shame and the business, like, God, you, man, that was awesome. And I'm so glad you did that. A plus, D minus, because I'd never give him an F. What do I do with that? What do I do with God? You're good. God, you're... And I can look around this room and I see so many people with different stories that I know your story. And we've celebrated together like, man, the goodness of God. He came through. That was awesome. There was a miracle. And I'm also looking around the room and I see a bunch of y'all that we've been on the opposite side of the coin where it's like, God, why? Where were you? Hebrews 11. Says those who had great faith were rescued from the sword. Amen. God is good.
Oh, listening friend, what is your faith story? Is it yay God or why God? Remember, God is good and nothing can happen outside of His permissive will. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends link. Also, as mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, WDKR 107.3 FM is broadcasting the good news message of Jesus. So from wherever you travel, if you head towards Decatur, you'll get a stronger signal and be blessed by our many broadcasts. 107.3 FM, as you're out and about driving around, tune it in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.